we're here at the Leipzig train station, preparing to get on our train to Munich, in the southern part of Germany, on New Year's Eve. And we had a very fun time at the Chaos Communication Congress in another part of Leipzig. What do you think, Kyle?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. A little bit hard to see people, but we ended up meeting up with lots of friends. Saw a lot of new faces there, and got to know the city a little bit as well outside of the Congress, more so than the last time we were here in Leipzig. Forget it. It's just, you know where we are, what we're talking about. The point is, we're on our way out, and kind of leaving in the nick of time because the really loud fireworks are starting here, which we noticed weren't quite as ferocious as what we would expect early afternoon, you know, in Berlin or other parts of Europe, Amsterdam maybe, I don't know. It's going to be curious what Munich's like, though. I'm sure if Leipzig's kicking up right around now, I'm sure Munich's going to be really loud by the time we get in there, spend some time, and then leave.
Well, as we do many times on Off the Wall, we journey to various parts of the world, and in this particular case, this is the second week that we've been doing this. Last week, we basically took you on a journey from Long Island to JFK Airport, overseas to Germany. Frankfurt is where we landed. And this week, we've spent pretty much the entire time in Leipzig. And now our plan is to head to Munich, where we're going to basically spend a couple of hours, I guess, near the train station on New Year's Eve. So it's going to be pretty crazy, and we're going to hopefully broadcast that in a few minutes. And then about a half hour before New Year's, about 11:30 at night, we're going to get on another train that will take us to Budapest in Hungary. And we'll be basically spending the night on that train. It'll be a sleeper train. Hopefully there won't be anybody in our room. that sometimes happens. And we'll see how that goes. But it's always fun to come to these places. I was, you know, I'm blown away by the generosity here in a country like Germany, where basically, for instance, you know, on a personal note, we stayed in a hotel where we had breakfast every day. It was part of the deal. But it's a standard part of the deal. And, boy, you never get anything like that in the States, where basically you can spend several hours just at this buffet where all kinds of different things are available to you. And we just, it's such a great way to start your day. It just puts you in a good frame of mind. And these things matter.
Yeah, and if you were to get it in the States, it wouldn't be nearly as high quality and kind of fresh and varied. You might get a very narrow selection of things, or just a sort of standard plate. But this is totally different. This is like fresh food, really gourmet quality, and it's from that to you know, little things to things like immigration or health. We really got a lot of stories.
Well, health in particular. A friend of ours, actually, this is an amazing story, lives here in Germany. But he's not German. He's American, and has just, I guess, a tourist visa or some kind of a visa that allows him to stay here for several years. And he needed a hip replacement. Serious, serious operation. And he got one. It didn't cost him anything. Imagine that. Imagine us in the States giving something like a hip replacement to somebody who was not a citizen. There'd be outraged citizens in the street thinking that they were being robbed. It's just, we don't live in a healthy society. You know, it's really sad to see that, because we can afford these things. We can afford to be generous. We can afford to be nice. But we're not. And it's really very sad to see that happen. It's a lost opportunity. And we just see it so many times. We see what they do in Germany. We see the generosity. We see how funds are allocated properly. And they benefit as a result. We're sitting here in a bustling train station, not even in one of Germany's biggest cities. Leipzig is not a huge city, but it's got this amazing Grand Central Station-type train station. And pretty much all the, fairly large cities, or even medium-sized cities in this country have that. in other countries as well. It's just something that we don't have, and we should. We used to have more train stations. We used to have more people traveling from one place to another in our country by train. And it's just a great, effective way of traveling that should be embraced. We say this all the time, and it's just it's sad to see us keep making the same mistakes of just using our cars to go everywhere and making it as unfriendly as possible for anybody who doesn't have a car, and taking planes everywhere. You know, they have all that here as well, but it's just not something that they're so dependent on. Anyone can get anywhere by train, and they do constantly.
Yeah, if we got together and were as excited about infrastructure like trains as we get around kind of frivolous things like the NFL or you know, other silly examples of where we can kind of put our differences aside and kind of unite, it's so frowned upon when it's around something that benefits all people. And that's really sad, because I know, as an American, of the amazing things that can be made and that are possible and that our country deserves, but we can't even get started with that because the sentiment is it's either too much work or it you know, we rationalize ways not to do it for one reason or the other, that'll be mismanaged. One thing, just to illustrate back with medical care, you know, a hip replacement isn't the type of thing someone's going to abuse. You don't, you know, just go and get frivolous hip replacements. But on the other hand, if you're debilitated in a country and on something like a work or other resident visa, your ability to contribute is profoundly affected. And, you know, if you think about it just for a minute, it's very logical that regardless of citizenship or not, taking care of your people allows you to have the kind of society that can work hard, that can be productive, that can hire other people, and that can maybe even work much longer, you know, and not be on disability and not be forced into early retirement for things like health or other reasons. So it's a really appropriate way to think, and for whatever reason, we can't get over ourselves to think that way. And it could be with our own unique American twist. There's nothing barring that. We simply have yet to embrace a creative way of implementing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we spend too much time on ridiculous debates over what really even shouldn't be a debate. You know, universal health care and just having the basics taken care of, opening up the doors to people who are less fortunate. I mean, when you think about how many refugees have been let into this country, it's shameful how we have reacted with suspicion and hostility towards the prospect of anyone entering our country, when in fact, you know, we're responsible for them existing as refugees in the first place. So, you know, I don't want to get too caught up on this because it's going to get me too angry. But it's the kind of stuff you realize just walking around a place like this. It really does work here. It's incredible. You know, obviously there are problems, no question about that. But the problems that we face in the States, these are things that they've basically gotten past, and they're doing other things now. They're building infrastructure. They're making things faster and better, and constant improvement. And that's what I want to see back home. I really want to see that. Instead, it's basically just endless debates over one thing or another, and we don't make progress.
Think of our perspective in the last couple of shows about Leipzig. We said it was sort of bleak. We said it was sort of, you know, not a lot going on, or maybe kind of in a bygone era still. But kind of looking at it now, even when we were speaking with other people at the event and so on, a lot of what we heard is that Leipzig is the new happening place, that people are coming here, that places like Berlin and so on, they're building up. And frankly, looking around here, we see a lot of cranes, we see a lot of housing, we see a lot of new infrastructure, buildings, housing, obviously, as well as businesses cropping up in what is a very old city. So it just it goes to show that upon further examination, a place we may have had certain attitudes towards has changed in so much time. And of course, we've spent a little bit, it's been a deeper look. We spent a little bit more time here, which is, you know, what you have to do to get that perspective. But it really is in stark contrast, I think, to our initial impressions, having been here only once and now a second time, and hearing, you know, from people that it's actually attracting folks. That's kind of along the lines of what you're saying, is that it is improving.
Well, we've seen more to it, as you said. When we first got here, actually, I think my initial impressions were reinforced, where it just seemed like an abandoned city. We were walking down streets that just had a lot of cranes and construction, and there weren't any people, there weren't any trams. And it was the 26th of December, so apparently everything was closed on that day, including mass transit. Because after that, it was very lively, and we were able to get around and figure the whole system out. And it's much more lively than I gave it credit for, both the first time we visited, which was only for a day, and the first hours of our visit this time. But going to the Congress, the Chaos Communication Congress, the annual hacker convention that takes place, and for the first time in Leipzig, because the space in Hamburg was being renovated, and I'm not sure if they're going to go back there. They might stay here. That was an incredible event, just this huge, massive space where 15,000 hackers could come and just learn and meet people and play games and just enjoy each other's company. It was really one of the most positive things. You know, we're used to it, but it's always nice to have that reinforced.
Some of us got exercise walking around. Some of us, that is, that chose not to ride on scooters or other mechanical devices. There was a lot of that at Congress. But it really is, it was a great place to spread out, I think. And
a lot of kids with their scooters, a lot of people. Yeah, I didn't know we could bring scooters, because it made things a lot easier to get around.
Skateboards, definitely. I saw roller skates and roller blades. Just every mode of transportation. Somehow people got the message that this place is big, and I think it benefited them. People got around, they got to where they wanted to be, and there was no shortage of hoverboards and other motorized things like Segways, and really, really cool to see how people dealt with this incredible expansion.
Well, it's an amazing thing to see people work together, to see what they can build, and it basically, you put your mind to it, there's nothing you can't do. So you have all these people, thousands of them, coming together and building a community over the course of a few days, and then when it was over, disassembling it really, really quickly. And you just see people not even know each other's languages. They're working together and for a common goal, and it's just the most amazing thing to see. I mean, we've seen it a bunch of times in the hacker world, but it never ceases to amaze me how people are able to keep doing this.
Teardown was really kind of fun. We helped a little bit, obviously, but we were just kind of watching in various moments to see the activity. It was a real shift. People went from, hey, we're hanging out, having fun, going to talks, to, all right, it's time to go, and, you know, and made fun while doing it. Of course, volunteers doing their very serious jobs, but attendees and people who had assemblies and other installations were working just the same alongside them, and people picking up where they could to lend a hand.
I got a real sense that people were being looked after, kids especially, because there were a lot of kids there, and just anyone who might have felt insecure or frightened of all the people. You know, it's entirely possible. You don't know how people are going to react if this is the first time they've been in a situation like this. So it's good to have that. It's good to have that sense of community. It's so important that we maintain it and enforce it ourselves if it's not something that we see being done properly.
Yeah. We, I think, all in this community and in general, but definitely in technology, have difficulty, you know, sometimes socializing, but just getting to know people and trying to make introductions and that kind of thing. But I really did feel like I didn't feel a whole lot of judgment. I felt like a lot of inclusion. I'm sure, you know, it wasn't the same for everyone. They did not have, you know, my exact experience. But, you know, I have moments of feeling shy, and you know, it can be hard to share and break the ice, as it were. But it really was a lot of people making the effort, a lot of good humor, and the spirit, I think, had people really glad to be there. And everyone knew sort of how important it was to catch up on what had gone on over the year and what to look forward to in the next year.
And you can see all the talks that took place at the Chaos Congress at, I believe, events.ccc.de. Well, that'll get you into the website anyway. You'll find your way from there, and basically every talk has been archived. Anyway, we are going to move towards our train, which is leaving. What time is it now?
5:21.
Okay, our train is at 48 past. And, you know, on our ticket, it already says what track. It's on track 11. In fact, it tells us what track it'll be arriving on in Munich. It's amazing. I don't know why we can't do these things. And we're within sight of our track, so we can see when a train pulls in. They're very quiet. They go very fast, just pulling into the station here. And they leave exactly when they're supposed to leave. So we don't want to be late. We're going to move over to the platform. And next time you hear from us, we'll either be on the train or in Munich itself, where New Year's is approaching and explosions in the street. It's just something that happens over here. It's a little unnerving. And then we'll be on our way to Budapest and other parts of Eastern Europe. Okay, well, we made it to Munich. We're actually standing in the street 2 hours before New Year's. You might hear some explosions. You might hear some fireworks being lit off in the distance, or maybe even close up. We have about an hour before our next train, which heads to Budapest. Actually, about an hour and 15 minutes. It leaves about 11:30. So we're just trying to kill some time here, so we figured we'd just say hi on the radio.
Hi on the radio.
Our train ride was remarkably smooth. It was so smooth it put us to sleep.
Yes, it was an ICE train, which is one of the high-speed lines in Germany, similar to the TGV en France.
So TGV for people that speak English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yet another example of countries with actual rail, and we quite enjoyed it. It was smooth, it got us where we wanted to go, as expected, and in a timely fashion, and really that's what made all the difference to us.
It was okay, but you know, we were surrounded by annoying people. Right? The people next to us,
they were
so loud. They were
complete slobs.
And the guy, he was belching up a storm.
Yeah, that was disgusting. I mean, we might talk in hushed tones, and we, you know, maybe shift our belongings around, or maybe stretch our feet out, but we don't sit there and, like, make sandwiches and, like, dig through all kinds of, like, grocery bags. I mean, the place they sat down in was a sty to begin with. It had all kinds of garbage in it. That's why we didn't sit there. Then they promptly unfurled all their crap that they wanted to eat. And then, you know, the remainder of the ride is just him belching and burping and pounding away on his laptop. I mean, it's great, but it's like zero self-awareness.
Uh-huh. And then there was the woman down the aisle a little bit that was just laughing hysterically. You know, I always seem to be in these crowds of people where there's somebody who's laughing, and they just won't stop. They're being told the most incredible joke that is in, like, so many parts that it just goes on for literally 45 minutes of just consecutive laughing. And I don't know. I don't want to be a Scrooge, but nothing is that funny. Nothing should be that funny. And sometimes you just want to be left alone. And having all that noise, having all that distraction around you, it can be really annoying.
You know, E, some people don't watch the news, and they spend a lot of time with their friends joking about banal things. So, or is that banal?
Yeah,
whatever.
That's open to debate.
Regardless, it's...
irregardless, by the way.
It is irregardless of the fact that others in the world take things seriously. And in all seriousness, there's nothing so funny that you...
you need to disrupt others' peace. It's obnoxious. You get it on the Long Island Railroad. You get that kind of distraction. People just, spraying perfume. I remember that on one train. All these women, out for whatever kind of night. I don't know if they were on the way into the city or on the way out, but they had to spray body spray everywhere. The whole train car smell. I have memories of similar annoyances in America. I think it's just universal. If you're peaceful, you mind your own business, you don't bother anybody, you're going to get three times as many people doing the exact opposite.
That was a cop honking, by the way. I don't know if you heard that car honking, but that was a cop annoyed at somebody.
Really?
That's how it works here.
He's backing up now.
Oh, wow, he is backing up. This could be interesting. But you hear, explosions all over the place, people are lighting off fireworks because it's New Year's Eve, and that's what they do. And all kinds of vehicles are going back and forth. What's he doing? Talking to some people?
Yeah, maybe it's a colleague. It doesn't look like a dispute or some sort of a civil disturbance of sorts. It seems as though maybe they were contacting someone or notifying them, alerting them of their presence.
That long car horn, that's how they do it. Okay, yeah. Well, whatever. So anyway, we're here in Munich, just kind of hanging out in the street for a few minutes. It's cold here. It's colder here than it was in Leipzig. I'm not sure why, because Munich is in the southern part of the country. I guess, we're always surprised by what we find. Going to kill some more time. We got some food in the station, but it was a little annoying because places were closing just as we got there. I hate when that happens.
That was the Hunger Games.
I've never seen it. Is that what it's about? Food in a train station?
It's not about trying to get food in a train station.
Well, it should be, because that's a Hunger Game for sure.
But everywhere we went, they were saying no. It's one of these places. It's like one organization runs it, but they have.
Wow, that's a backup sound of a car. That's really annoying.
Yeah, this is a taxi backing up.
People in Europe, they have. Making generalizations here, but they have no sense of personal space. All right. You're walking down the street, and people walk into you. They walk in front of you. They cut you off. You're always having issues of just trying to move forward. Someone will get in front of you and then stop, or decide that now's a good time to tie their shoe or check their phone. And it's weird. I don't know why there aren't more conflicts. People seem to just figure out ways around it. In New York, it's not how people move around at all.
Yeah, or so few boundaries. There's no boundaries. So
it doesn't seem like there is.
So, where were we? The food court had several different businesses, several different types of food. We were trying to figure out what we could actually order. One was sit down. We thought, okay, we'll go in there. Guy said no.
Finish.
There were other people in there, but he was clearly not going to allow us to order or provide any kind of table service. So we went to another part that was sort of like a seafood end of the same kind of food court, and the woman doing table service there was just running around with a really angry bewildered look.
Yeah, sour expression on her face.
Disinterested. And when I saw her starting to, marry the Windex bottles, I realized she's going to start spraying people out of this place. So, we finally got up and started, we have to stand around some of these counters that have some of the more fast food. So, one was a kebab, one was, a place with pizza, and again, all in the same food court. So it seemed you noticed that the guy serving brats was actually helping people.
He was helping people, and he had a smile on his face. I figured that's the guy for us. So we went and we got bratwurst.
Yeah, a lot of the other guys were just standing around talking to other colleagues about how they're going to close down and shoo all these people out. So we got up to this guy. I ordered a couple brats for us.
Well, we tried to get there. Then all these people got in the way and just stood there. That's what I mean about personal space. They just stood. They couldn't get past them. Had to wait for them to, like, finish their conversation. And then when that was over, we were able to move over. And fortunately, that guy was still open, so we were able to get our bratwurst.
Right. Tons and tons of crowding and indecision. Can't figure out what they want. Can't figure out if they're going to get something. It's like do or die, and people are sitting there hemming and hawing over nothing.
We love it here. We do. It's different. It's challenging.
So, yeah. Challenges aside, we go over to find another place where we can actually sit down. I have to move a bunch of dishes and stuff so we, you know, aren't eating on top of somebody's dish leftovers and stuff.
No one else is going to do it.
Right. And then as soon as we've claimed that space, I went over to the bar and negotiated a couple pints. The guy there, you know, tapped his watch, was saying, you know, 15 minutes as like a conditional.
Can you drink a beer in 15 minutes?
Yeah, I'm like, brother, serve it up. Suds, that's all
we just
all
got
I
off
need.
A damn train. It's not our fault we're getting here at this time.
Do I look like I'm, you know, sniffing daisies and lollygagging here? No. Hook the beer up and I'll drink it. So anyway, he asked, you know, lager, pilsner. I said pilsner, lager, whatever, you know, anything. And anyway, paid him, brought those over, and ended up with beer and brats. You have all the major food groups. What
beer
else?
Beer and brat sitting in a train station on New Year's Eve. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, when we put it together, it was a decent kind of demi meal, a half meal. All you need when you're traveling. When you're traveling, you don't want to go heavy.
No, I need the other half. I'm looking for the other half right now, in fact. We have another hour. I aim to find it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we're pickup, put down, I want to be a little light on my feet. I want the larger meal when I'm not having to move around as much. So I can do, like, smaller snacks or maybe go a little hungry, a little hungrier. But so I feel satiated enough to sort of get us on this sleeper, and then, you know, wake up tomorrow and perhaps make up for it, catch up with a nice meal in Budapest.
Well, I hope that's what happens. You know, we're getting on a Hungarian train, and supposedly we have a double, which means two people only, not six people, not some strange guy from Belarus or something like that. No, hopefully it'll just be us.
Yes, yeah. I mean, two means two. I mean, why would they put us in with four people, yes, or eight people or like six people?
What is this here?
Special report.
Yeah, we're recording.
What?
New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve in Munich.
Of Munich.
It's
for
Islam,
New Year's.
Islam report.
Well,
it's for Munich Islam report.
New Year's.
Ah, what? No, New Year's? No. What Islam New Year's? I don't know what you say. Say me in the mic. Say me what?
For the New Year celebration.
Yeah.
What is
Munich
in 2018?
Like?
Yeah. What is Munich saying? What is
the world go under, my friend?
How so?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I f*** the world.
And that's what happens when you stand in a street corner with a microphone.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should probably wrap things up here as it's getting closer to midnight and closer to craziness, and hopefully our train will be here soon.
Are you happy we did this?
I am, actually. I really am.
Yeah,
I
mean,
got to meet some of the people. And
the Coke dealers will be by in a second.
All right, well, let's get inside where it's still cold because they turned the heat off. So, Kyle, did you sleep well tonight?
Yeah, I did all right.
Or last night, actually?
Yeah, I basically went to bed right after the new year. That was the first thing I did in 2018, is sleep.
That's a good way to start the year. We, after talking to that psychopath in the street in Munich, we got on the train. We had a little bit of coffee, then we got on the train, and the train left, and I guess we stayed up for like maybe 20 minutes to witness the new year come in, which wasn't really that spectacular since we were on a train. And, yeah, we went right to sleep.
Yeah, and it's really a comfortable train. I don't remember it from our previous trips. I'm not sure if we had a sleeper or not, but it's kind of cool. I think this actual berth can handle three people sleeping.
I guess you could make another bed there, because you were on the top bunk and I was on the bottom, but you were so far up that it was like having a high ceiling.
Right, right. And there's three numbers in here. So yeah, and then of which were two. And but anyway, they were expecting only two, so our beds were ready for us. And yeah, it's more spacious, I think, because there's less things like showers and other things where you and I discussed this. Like Amtrak tends to kind of maybe overdo it. This is a very small berth, but I'm comfortable.
I'm standing full, you know, full upright, and I don't feel cramped or anything like that. I'm not hitting myself. I didn't hit my head once, actually, so that's pretty good. And we haven't really walked around that much. We basically just got on this train, fell asleep, woke up. They brought us breakfast. They brought us orange juice and a sandwich and some tea and a tray, which was really cool. And we're ready to go. We're going to arrive in Budapest in about, well, if we're on schedule, which I don't know, no one said anything, in about 20 minutes or so. And of course, it's going to be about 9:30 in the morning, kind of early to check in to the place that we're staying at. So it being New Year's Day, I'm going to try and negotiate train tickets to Bucharest in Romania, which ought to be a lot of fun. We'll see if that's possible. I tried doing it online. It wasn't doable online. So maybe I'll have a nice conversation with a train agent in Budapest on New Year's.
There's a little bit of snow, at least outside the city, less now.
Yeah, there's no snow now. It all went away. You know, back home, back in New York, well, you probably know this if you're listening, it snowed. There's snow on the ground right now, but we haven't really seen any except for about maybe 20 minutes ago. I got really excited, but now there's no snow again.
A lot of cottage-style houses with tile roofs, and, yeah, a lot of, like, gardens. I guess the train tracks seem to butt up right against these neighborhoods. So essentially on each side, if it's not industrial or a road or a pasture of sorts, you're basically looking through many different small backyards. It's very overcast now, and just kind of what you expect heading east. I don't know. Maybe that's a cliche.
Well, it's it does get kind of gloomy and gray sometimes. And I don't know. You know, maybe we'll see that reflected in the mood of people. Last time we were in Budapest, it was a different environment. Since then, they've gone through the entire refugee crisis, which I think they handled very poorly. And we'll see if that's reflected in the attitude. I mean, what we saw last night, actually, with that idiot that came up to us and started saying all this anti-Muslim stuff. You know, we talk a lot about what's going on back home. It goes on here quite a bit as well. In fact, it's gone on here for many, many years. And we're going to be keeping our eyes open, seeing how people are treated, how people are being judged, how welcoming an environment there is in front of us. It's a different world, it seems, but doesn't mean that it's hopeless.
Yeah, that was definite evidence of sort of tension in Munich. Munich's a big place, and there are a lot of different types of people converging there. So, sort of in retrospect, that wasn't entirely surprising, but it's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, you got to call that out whenever you see it. Anyway, so we are approaching Budapest on this nice, smooth riding train that pretty much has been going all night long. I always fall asleep immediately on trains, though. It's incredible. It's the best way to get a night's rest. And now we have the whole day in front of us. And, you know, we didn't have to stay in a hotel. We stayed on the train, and we were moving at the same time, so that's kind of cool. We just have to kind of wander around with our bags before we can check into the place we're staying. And I think we'll be staying there for maybe a night, assuming we can get a train ticket out of here or out of there tomorrow. But you know what? We might not be able to get a ticket there. We might have to go someplace else. So we're being very flexible here. The only thing we have to be is back in Berlin at a certain time to get another train that'll take us over to the UK. So we'll check in a little bit and catch up to you later.
Bye.
Well, here we are in Budapest. It's actually nighttime after we spent the entire day walking around the city, reacquainting ourselves with it. It's incredible. We came by train early in the morning, and right away we decided to tackle the getting the next train ticket to our next destination, which is Bucharest in Romania. and I thought it would be, you know, an ordeal that would take hours or maybe not even be able to be completed at all. And we walked into this, walked into one room at the machine where there was a woman there whose sole job it was to tell people that the machine didn't work and that they had to go into the other room. And then we walked into the other room and just told them what we wanted, and they gave us a ticket, and it was really, really easy.
Yeah, straightforward, and it just was like a regular ticket office. Before we walked downstairs, looked at the other places where they sell tickets, things are kind of split up into domestic and international, and I think there's even a travel agent that we went for another occasion before. This time, it was just simply getting that international ticket. Straightforward, they helped us, we got what we needed.
Well, as far as a ticket, you know, I think we got what we wanted, because, you know, we keep saying we want a sleeper that doesn't have a whole lot of other people in it, and I'm just worried that they won't understand. I emphasized it many, many times, and they seem to understand it, so fingers crossed, you know, when we get on this train, that there won't be a family of four on it.
No, there won't be.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good you have that confidence. So we got that all set, and we dropped our bags off. We're able to walk around town. Now we're at our hotel, which is right across the street from the train station. It's also right across the street from the other hotel we stayed in last time we were in Budapest.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's pretty much directly across, different vantage point. However, that hotel we hadn't quite the view we have this time. We can actually see the entirety of the square in front of the train station, as well as all the streets that sort of intersect and encircle that building. So it's really fascinating and a cool vantage when you want to get a sense of how many buses are running right now, or how busy traffic is, or
there's a bus right now.
How many people are outside?
We can see people walking into the subway. We can see people waiting for the bus. We can see people walking into the main train station across the street. We can see all the cars and emergency vehicles go by every now and then. We see the supermoon. It's right up there staring down at us now. This is an incredible view, incredible vantage point, and it's like $50 is what it costs to stay in a hotel here in such an amazing spot. So that is part of the fun of going to places like this and just kind of exploring and realizing that there's all kinds of nooks and crannies that you weren't aware of. And that's going to be the case in Romania as well, I hope.
Yeah, indeed. That's really, got me a little anxious, but mostly excited because it is a new place. The sort of next part of our day, I guess, was just our normal thing of getting a day pass, getting around. We've been on this metro before and the tram system, but we refamiliarized ourselves pretty quickly and just kind of went all around. We tried to track down a couple places that we'd been before, for espresso, and actually ended up with a new place, I think, maybe our new favorite place to get coffee here.
Well, it's New Year's Day, too, so a lot of places were closed, including the whole public market was closed.
Yeah, that was kind of a factor, is that a lot of businesses just weren't ever going to be open today. So, but that's fine. We were flexible and just, made our own fun. We went on several modes of transportation, not a bus, but multiple trams and several different lines of the underground. We even went on the oldest line.
Oh, that was so cool. We just happened to go down into a metro station, and I realized, wow, this is part of the first line of subways in Europe. It's so tiny, so short. At most, it can fit two subway cars. It's adorable. But that's what the first subway in Budapest, which I believe is the first subway in the continental Europe, it was really, really tiny and very small. And they keep expanding. There's now four metro lines here and a whole lot of trams.
It's kind of cozy. I don't know. I really liked it. You really do feel like you shrank. And as you said, each car holds about eight people.
No, it holds more than that.
Okay, fine, 12.
Yeah, well, it's very tiny.
If some of them stand. But anyway, the station itself is like what would be maybe a corner or a couple meters of the stops we're used to in a big metropolitan area like New York.
Yeah, and being from a big metropolitan area like New York, it enables you to pretty much figure out the city a lot quicker. Just realizing how systems work, and we had no idea how to get from one part of town to the other, but looking at a map, we were able to figure out, even though they reuse numbers, like there is, we just got off the number one metro and had to get on the number one bus, and they both were yellow, and it's just really, it can confuse you if you're not careful. But when you when you're trained walking around cities, you can overlook these things and figure it out and make your way with determination. And I think that's how you survive.
I was really happy to be reminded how modern a city Budapest is. It really is. The ticket machines alone, really brand new, top of the line, like you'd see anywhere else. And that all makes a big difference, even if the city itself is old, or there's less support for some of the other details that may be harder to maintain in such an old city, or such a place that's busy, that just got so many people. There's only so many bodies that can be out taking care of this or that or repairing things. But all in all, the important stuff works really well here. And, it's amazing. You can go down in one block and see just stuff that's been there forever. People kind of just, getting by with whatever kind of business or service they're providing in the community that, it's a little rough around the edges. But there's other places that just seem so modern and so amazing. I was just blown away. There's a real spectrum of stuff, and that's what you get in a huge city. And this one is really much bigger and quite modern than I remembered it. And it's good to be brought back to that.
Well, I like a city that's rough around the edges, because a city that's too clean, I just don't trust. And Budapest definitely has that grittiness to it. And also, I've mentioned this before, their escalators move really fast on the metro. They go, I think, we were trying to figure this out, they go probably about maybe 15%, 20% faster than New York escalators, the ones that work, that is. And we were wondering, who gets to adjust that speed? Was it just one guy, a city planner many decades ago, who was in a hurry and decided to make the escalators go fast? And who's going to rethink that? Who's going to slow down the escalators? They're just going to keep going at the same speed. And then we were wondering, well, how fast can you make an escalator go before it's unsafe? And how do you determine that? And all kinds of questions that were raised just by getting on the escalator and being a little terrified because they move so fast. But I like it that way, because you get where you're going faster. It encourages people on the sidewalk not to dawdle, to keep the pace going once they get off the escalator. And it's different, something that I'm not used to, and I like seeing that.
Yeah, a lot of different stations, a lot of deep stations. So in a lot of ways, they need those faster escalators because they've such a great distance to get down to the stops.
They're deep.
Yeah, whatever part of the city it may be, you may be going several stories down just to get to the platform.
Yeah, something else I noticed, too, which was not the case when we were here last, which was only a couple of years ago, they have people at every metro stop checking tickets now. It's not a turnstile, it's a person. You get your day pass or your individual ticket or whatever, you have to show it to a human being who just stands there and looks at everyone's tickets. And, we were wondering, is this because of the influx of refugees? They're trying to keep people out of the system unless they have a bona fide ticket. Because, most cities in Europe rely on the honor system, where basically you get a ticket and you don't show it unless you're, confronted by a ticket inspector, which doesn't happen very often. It happened to us in Leipzig once. But it's just kind of unusual to see that. And the number of people that they employ doing this, there are people on every platform, too. I'm not sure what their job is, because they're not checking tickets. They're just kind of standing there. Maybe it's just for New Year's Day, but I have the feeling that this is how it is all the time.
Yeah, there are definitely some sort of private guards or private security on the platforms, guys with radios, the kind of basic eyes on the street, you know, in the public places where you might, you know, run a risk of somebody getting into trouble, or just there to observe, make sure nobody is hurt on the system itself.
Well, you know, I like to attach the finest motives to things like this, but I also, you know, I'm feeling a bit of apprehension in this place about the influx, and you know, I'm used to that from back home as well. People have the same apprehension about immigrants. Noticed a whole lot of homeless people I never saw before, living on one level of the subway, not the level where you have to pay to get on, but the level before that, and that was just pretty unbelievable. And I don't know what it's like in the rest of the country, but it's clearly an issue. I think we'll run into this more as we go east as well. I don't know. It's not a very satisfactory feeling seeing that.
And oddly, that seems to be going hand in hand with a lot of development. I've noticed cranes and as I said, you can go into one venue and be just wowed at the modern fixtures and beauty of it, and go into another and realize, wow, this place is just barely getting by, or it's, you know, straight out of, you know, an era that you'd only recognize maybe decades ago. But that's something that is existing in parallel, and it's happening in so many cities around the world. It may be just the holiday, but I think it's also a true reflection of how cities are changing, how societies are changing. They want to develop. You know, Budapest and Hungary itself wants to thrive. They want to be economically viable, strong, and independent, including having workforces of, I'm sure, all types. I hope all types. But, you know, when you get down to it in practice, those transitions can take much longer and be, you know, painful and have a lot of casualties along the way.
Yeah. We actually saw a Syrian restaurant that unfortunately had gone out of business. And weirdly enough, it was right across the street from a Hooters. I'm not kidding, a Hooters, which had also gone out of business. So I'm not sure what's going on in this city. But, you know, I would like to see more diversity and more acceptance. And maybe we will see that. We'll wander around some more tomorrow and report on what we actually are able to find out.
Yeah, every restaurant can't be an American chain or yet another traditional Hungarian place. You know, you got to have a lot of different cultures. That's how you get different choices for cuisine or other cultural things like that.
Hey, we are out of time, but, you know, I would like to play some of the music that is heard on the radio here in Budapest, and that's traditional Hungarian music. It's music of the Roma people that you also see migrating throughout parts of the country and being treated in kind of a bad way, and that's throughout Europe. But this radio station that I find every time I come here just plays the most amazing music, and I don't hear it anyplace else. So I'd just like to close with a couple of tracks from that. We are going to be Romania-bound and maybe even beyond that to Moldova or other places. We'll see. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, and we will read your emails and report back next week with hopefully more adventures. Until then, it's Emmanuel.
And Kyle.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Tudod-e még az én nótám?